everyone, and welcome to another edition of Racetime Radio. I am Joe Chisholm, along with Joe Chisholm Jr., right here in the Racetime Radio studio, just outside Shallow Lake, Ontario, and of course, beamed live across North America on Sirius XM Channel 167, along with all of our other carriers. Thank you so much, and welcome, everybody. We got lots to talk about tonight. We got NASCAR Pinty's back on the racetrack for the first time in 2020. We got Jonathan Hicken that won the International out at Riverglade, 56th annual, believe it or not. Just amazing. We got a great lineup for you tonight. Andrew Grizel, driver of the number 81, Sobel Falls, and a whole pile of others. He's going to join us tonight, too. Junior, what do you think? You just finished watching that cup race. Who won?
Yeah, Chase Elliott.
Chase?
Yeah, he had a dominant car.
Way to go, Napa.
Chase Elliott, I don't think anybody had anything for him. Basically the entire race, but... Man, the Cup Series is having struggle after struggle with lightning or rain.
Yeah,
or
no kidding.
Global pandemics, like you name it. NASCAR's getting everything thrown at it, but was cool to see the top three series. Well, really, the top four series in motorsports on the road course at Daytona.
Yeah.
Really
history
cool.
Making, right?
Yeah, definitely.
We're going to hear from three of the winners tonight. We're going to hear from Michael Self that went to Victory Lane in the Arca Menard series. I got a clip with him. We'll hear from Sheldon Creed that went to Victory Lane earlier today in that GMS number two. Great run for him. Who else do I got? Oh, Raphael Lazard. How about that for Canadian? He tied his career best finish again today with another third place finish.
Yeah.
So good for him.
If you would have asked me, would Raphael Lazard outfinish Alex Tagliani on a road course, I would have said no.
No. Well, side by side for the start of the final stage.
Yep, definitely.
Didn't quite work out for the bullies.
No.
I kind of figured we were going to be in for like a barn burner finish, which we were. It was a good truck race.
Yeah.
Just not, for the Canadian guys, it would have been kind of cool to see the 4, the 51. And let's throw the 52 of Stu Friesen in there. It would have been kind of nice. Stewie's been struggling big time this year.
Yeah, definitely. Just the new car blues, if you will, right? It's, everything's in-house now for that 52 camp. They're not reliant on an established team's notebook. And they're doing their own thing and trying to – that's the only way to get better. Really, in today's model, you can run competitively, you can run for wins by paying somebody else to do it. But you can't sustain that because you're constantly paying for that overhead at retail price. Yeah. So, the number one way to make it in racing is to bring everything in-house and, take your lumps at the beginning and figure out what works and what doesn't work, more importantly, and go from there. So that's what we're seeing out of Stuart Friesen right now. They're constantly getting better.
Yep.
Week in and week out.
Trip Bruce is an awesome crew chief.
Definitely.
If there's anybody you got on top of the box today, I'd want to have a guy like either Jeff Stankiewicz or Trip Bruce. A number of really good crew chiefs in the truck garage. But definitely Trip Bruce is one of them.
Yeah, definitely. And when you look at what they've got going on, it wasn't just bringing the motor program in-house. It was bringing the entire thing and starting a race team, moving shops in short order. And really, just moving a race shop is a tremendous undertaking. There's a ton of inventory in those shops, with equipment and with parts and pieces and all of those things. I think there's no news to the fact that they broadcast it themselves, that they're going to struggle at the beginning.
Yeah.
But it's for the long-term gain. I think we're going to see some bright things towards the end of the year with that Hallmark truck.
Yeah. He's been burning it up on dirt, right? Mm. Whenever the truck isn't running, you can count on Stewie to jump into a dirt car, be at a dirt track. And man, I'll tell you what, every time the guy straps in, It looks like he's got a W or a second or a third. He's doing really good on dirt this year, as he does every year, but especially this year. He's been burning it up.
Yeah, definitely. But that's what got him to the Truck Series level,
yep.
you know? And
yep.
and he's been burning it up for a long period of time in dirt. And, you know, every time he shows up at one of those dirt modified tracks, he's the guy to beat.
yeah.
And it's just that way. And, you know, looking at what's your take on the actual road course at Daytona? What was your take on the racing that we've seen?
I liked it. I watched
it.
The Xfinity race yep. yesterday.
Yep.
I watched the truck race today, not the whole thing, and I got a little bit of a gripe or complaint about that again. And I didn't watch the cup race today, so I can't really comment on the truck race or the cup race. But the truck race was very entertaining. And same with the Xfinity. I thought it was really good. Oddly enough, in the Xfinity race, Justin Allgaier
yeah.
ran into trouble at the end with...
Allmendinger.
And it was kind of... I had a flashback.
Yeah.
I remember Ron Fellows running, and I believe they were at Road America. No, maybe Montreal. Maybe Montreal. It was a road course race. Ron Fellows was in it. Had the race in the bag and got turned by Justin Allgaier. And it was a tough deal.
Yep.
It was a real tough deal. Allgaier yesterday, very, very frustrated. I guess him and AJ have a little bit of history.
Yeah.
But even that was kind of news to AJ in the interview. So
yeah.
I don't know.
I mean,
tempers flared. It was like a short track race from that perspective.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, the next time they go back, the race is going to be even better.
Yeah, I think so, too. Now, I will say all of that to say this. I much prefer a sports car on that racetrack.
So do I.
If I had the choice to watch any of the top three series NASCAR or sports cars on the Daytona road course, after seeing today and really seeing this weekend,
yeah.
all the highlights... Sports cars all the way. It looks like they're going so slow through the intersection.
Yeah.
You know, and it's so odd. Now, when I see a NASCAR series, any NASCAR series, on a purpose-built road course.
Yes. With
CTMP,
elevation change.
CTMP.
Right.
You know, Montreal. You know, Road America, Mid-Ohio, Watkins Glen. When I see a NASCAR series on a purpose-built, fast road course.
Yeah.
Sign me up.
Big difference.
I want to watch that.
Yep, yep.
On a Roval, I am way happy that they went to the Daytona road course instead of going to another mile and a half.
Yeah.
So, you know, good on NASCAR.
Yep.
Put a check mark beside them on that.
Yep.
But put an X beside it because there's a ton of amazing road courses that would be amazing to see one of the top three series or all the top three series on.
Mm.
And I'm not saying that because I want them to come to Canada, because
well,
obviously right now you can't have that.
I'd love to see a cup race
at CTMP.
Yes. Yeah.
I absolutely 100% would love to see that.
It would be killer.
I would love to see the cup series on Montreal, on Gilles Villeneuve.
Yep.
That racetrack there, amazing for watching road course racing.
Yep.
You know, but I would also like to see them on a track like Laguna Seca. I would like to see them on a track like Mid-Ohio. I think Mid-Ohio would be amazing. I think Sebring would be amazing.
Yep.
There's a ton of Road Atlanta.
Mm.
You know, when the ARCA series used to go there, well, the K&N series, if you will, they put on a whale of a show
yep.
at Road Atlanta.
They did.
And you know, I like seeing a purpose-built road course. The Roval stuff, I mean, I would rather see them race at Daytona on Daytona.
Yeah.
You know, I just, you know, as a race fan, you know, quarterback in the schedule from here, I'm happy that they went there.
Yes.
But
yeah.
in the same regard, I think a purpose-built road course is a better show.
It's going to take a little bit, though, right?
Mm-hmm.
You got to cut them a little bit of slack and let them get a little bit of time on the A Roval or on Daytona. It's
yep.
going to take a little time. Those teams got like next to nothing for practice.
Yep.
Speaking of that, DGM,
they got nothing
won
for practice.
The yeah. appeal,
yes.
but they didn't get any practice.
Yes.
So good news, bad news sort of situation. They didn't have a very good day. It started out okay.
Yeah.
Labby was 10th.
Yep.
Looking good.
Yep.
But he got tied up. But what
yeah.
do you do?
Yeah, definitely. Lots of Canadian involvement down there.
Yes,
really.
There was.
When you look at it, you know, it's been a long time since we've seen that many Canadians in the top three series in NASCAR. Obviously, not in the Cup Series, but in the trucks and Xfinity. You know, you look at the list: Tagliani, you know, Raphael Lessard, Stuart Friesen in the trucks, and then
yeah.
and then on the other side, you know, you had Alex Labbe out there, and just a. It was cool to see that many Canadians down there, even during the times that we're in right now.
Yeah, it was. Tough day for Tagliani. He did roll off 21st to start, worked his way right up to the front, which you expect him to do. And then, I want to say he was third. Caution came out, and there was still like 17 or 18 laps left to go in the race. And he and Stockman decided to come down pit road, pick up four tires, fill it up, and then they were going to be good to go.
Yep.
Only problem with it was it did mar him back in traffic a wee bit and felt bad for Alex because I don't think there was anybody that was back there that didn't hit him.
Yeah, exactly.
He was a pinball.
Yep.
And that pretty well ruined his day, and he come home 22nd
yep.
In the race. But I'll tell you, I was some upset. Canadian, this story is so old. With television and getting our races up here, I'm going to say it was the beginning of the year. And Shaw Direct Satellite, which I have, came out with the old speed channel.
Fox Racing.
Yep. Fox Racing. Channel 336.
Yep.
I was so excited when I seen that back on my channel lineup. Of course, I subscribed right away so that I could get every truck race.
Yep.
And I could get Race Hub and stuff like that. So our content that I wanted to see. And today, got a text message from Scott, actually. And he goes, hey, where are you watching the race?
Yeah.
And I went, on the TV. It's going to be coming up here in a minute. He said, no, it's not on there. It's not on until 6 o'clock. I went, no.
Yeah.
What are they running after, Cup? I couldn't figure it out. And sure enough, I checked my phone, and the race was on. And we didn't get it live. I went, what is going on? I can't yep. believe this is happening. It wasn't like this was a surprise race. I know it wasn't scheduled back in February.
Yeah.
But in the same regard, a lot of people buy that channel for that specifically. And the race was not on live. It drove me nuts.
Yeah.
I watched it on my telephone. Luckily, one of our followers on Twitter said, hey, Joe, click this link. You can watch it on your phone. And I did. And sure enough, I got the race.
Yeah.
So I was satisfied from that end of things. But I'll tell you what, when you pay for a subscription for something like that,
yeah.
and then you get burned, this isn't the first time. It's not a mistake. It's not a
whatever. What do you feel about this? And we've heard, you know, numerous times that, you know, there's enough content out there, right? There's racing content all the time. There's dirt track streaming services. There's, you know, asphalt short track streaming services. There is, you know, MAV TV. There's all of these sources.
Yeah, I know. But things keep changing.
Everything is so...
Fragmented?
Fragmented.
Yeah.
And it's so diluted.
Yep.
You don't know where to turn.
Nope.
Me as a race fan, I'm a diehard. Like, I would watch racing 24/7.
Yep.
For me to not know when a race is coming up or coming on is, like, it's mind-blowing to me.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I live in this stuff.
Yep.
And, you know, when you look at, you know, the IndyCar racing, or you look at F1 racing, you look at Cup Series, you look at all of the different series that race.
Yep.
There needs to be a way that the industry could wrap its arms around having a racing channel.
Well,
like
like a TSN setup where you've got like three or four different channels with something different on each one instead of having
yes.
five channels and the same thing on four of them.
I know. And when you look at all of the different options and you know, for consuming racing. Now, a big problem is it does, a majority of the racing happens within a 2-day period.
Right.
Saturday and Sunday.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
A majority of the racing. There's dirt tracks that race every single night throughout North America. Same deal with asphalt. But that being said, a majority of the racing is on Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah.
Right? That's it's just the way that it is. But I feel that, you know, these television companies, whether it be Fox, NBC, TSN, whoever, they put so much stake in the ratings of a particular item.
Yep.
As opposed to embracing the industry.
And growing
A racer will watch racing, will consume the content. If they know that it's on, number one. If they know that it's there, number two.
Yep.
And if they know where to look to find it.
Right.
So those three things sound the same, but they're not. They're very different.
Yep.
And you know, I would watch an off-road race. I would watch a motorbike race. I would watch a stock car race. You know, obviously, I would put stock car above all those for myself.
Mm-hmm.
But there's other people that would watch all three of those things, but arrange them in a different order as well. And you know, it's tough to say. I'm not trying to, you know, get into trouble here, but the companies that cover motorsports right now look at it as more of an obligation than they do a support of the series.
Exactly. When I think back wholeheartedly.
When I think back to Speed Channel eat, slept, and breathed speed.
Yep.
They were all about motorsports.
And Rick Benjamin was at the racetrack when he wasn't actually working.
Mm-hmm.
Rick Benjamin, for a night, would go out to a short track. And that kills me every time. It doesn't matter what you're listening to or watching. Try and pick up on it when they're talking about their days off.
Yeah.
Oh, the last place they want to be is at a racetrack.
Yeah.
Tell me that isn't... You're in the wrong business, bud.
Yes.
100%. You should be at the racetrack.
Yeah, that's and, you
I don't know.
When you look at the sport in general, everybody that's got a vested interest in it, whether it be the fan that's paying for a ticket to go see it, whether it be a guy that spends $100,000 on his race equipment, whether it be a guy that spends $1 million on his race equipment, or whether it be the guy who owns the racetrack that's underneath it or pays the sponsorship bill.
Right.
Those are all people with a vested interest in the sport. And when you look at the entities that are covering it, they are not vested in it. They're paying, to cover it.
Yep.
And they have other sources of revenue that are more important to them. And you can't lump TSN, you know, you can't point at TSN and be like, that's the problem. You can't point at Fox be like, that's the problem.
No.
And you can't call them out, because I think the coverage that they give and provide is second to none, and it's been increasingly better. That being said, I think it's time for a racing channel have the industry behind it.
Yeah.
You know, I think that would be better for everybody.
Yeah, I think it would be too. Well, you know what we're going to do? Hit our first break and then we're going to talk to some winners, shall we? Our first guest up is going to be LP Dumoulin, and he drives a 47 WeatherTech Dodge. He's going to join us live on the other side of the break. He won the Quickway 125 just yesterday.
Quickway
125 at Sunset Speedway, the NASCAR Pinty Series opener for 2020. LP Dumoulin on the other side of the break. Stay there.
Hi, I'm Bob Finnegan, the starter for the Oscar Super Series. You listen to Racetime Radio.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn Halifax Airport, the official stay of Racetime Radio in Nova Scotia.
Even though Napa is a nationally known name, nearly all of our stores are built from the ground up by local owners and families. People you might call neighbors will be here, there, and everywhere, doing what neighbors do to keep their communities moving forward. You stop by a Napa Auto Parts store, you can count on Napa know-how.
Tonight's Racetime Radio is brought to you by Napa Auto Parts Stores, New Glasgow, Andy Ganesh, and Port Hawkesbury, Nova Scotia. You can count on Napa know-how.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on. And
oh. Perfect!
Everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90.
Racetime Radio to go.
Streaming live or on demand.
And we are back with you live tonight on Racetime Radio. Joe, we're going to get right to the hotline, and let's welcome in a real happy number 47 WeatherTech Dutch. We have got LP Dumoulin, the winner of the first race of 2020 in the NASCAR Pindy Series. How you doing tonight, LP? How are you?
I'm doing great. What about you guys?
Fantastic, my friend.
Not as good as you.
Good for you going to victory lane in that first 125. That's how you get a jump on the season.
Oh, yeah, that was amazing. That WeatherTech Benmar car was awesome. The team did a great job to provide me a fast and reliable car. And I'm telling you, we had a lot of fun. I draw a P10 for the qualification there. We had to draw it. And I was like, all right, that's going to be interesting to work our way back up. And the car was fast in practice. So I knew we had a good piece, at least for the short run. But I had no idea what would happen for the long run, but we took a good decision on the setup with my crew, and then ended up doing being fast in the long term as well. So that was great.
Yeah, that's the way you want it. Now, Junior shot a little, captured a little photo and sent it back to me because, of course, I was back here. He was with you guys, and I noticed that the car was vented over on the right side. It looked like you were missing a fender.
Yeah, we were missing a fender. We were actually, even if we should be doing a lot of social distancing, I can tell you on track there was a lot of rubbing stuff. But, hey, it's part of it. It's short track racing, and on top of it, it was really a short racing, 125 laps. So you got to be on top of it and be ready to be taking some spot when it's time to do it. So, no, I mean, at the beginning of the race, I was trying to be patient to save my stuff and save tires and see how the car is going to react. We know that track is usually pretty loose in Sunset Speedway, so my guys did a really good job making sure that we can get the car good on the long run, and it was paying off, after a couple, 75 lap, or at one point I felt that I had a lot on other people, so it felt great.
Yeah, that's awesome. You go to victory lane in that first race. What did it feel like to get back to the track? I know there wasn't any fans there. You guys were there solo pretty well, but it must have felt good to get back together with the crew and all that labor that you guys have done all winter preparing that 47. By the looks of it, things went according to the plan.
Yeah, actually, you got it so right. I mean, everybody worked so hard over the winter to improve that oval program, and we were ready mid-March when that whole deal came in, and we had to stop the shop, and everybody went home for quarantine, and it was like, for a lot of people, it was really disturbing, but we kept it cool. Everybody, we were working from home, trying to make some plans on what, we should keep doing when the shop goes back on green. And then everybody did a really good job on getting ready on time to have a fast car. And, I mean, it was totally different with no fans. Of course, there's something missing. We love to spend time with them, to exchange with them, to spend time with them. I mean, we're passionate about cars and racing, and they are as well. So, of course, we love to have them at the racetrack. But you know what? This year is totally different year, off the track and at the track. So we can deal with that. I understand the series was working really hard to give us, the teams, the sponsors, as well as the fans, some racing this season, and I'm happy we're having that right now. And, I mean, it's not easy, but I can tell you something. WeatherTech, my main sponsor, WeatherTech and Benmar, been behind us 100%, 200% to make sure that, we can keep going and we can be at the racetrack and be ready to win races.
Absolutely. It's definitely a touchy situation. Nobody figured that we were going to get on the racetrack this summer as everything kind of, you know, fell apart at the beginning. But to get back to the racetrack, LP, it was definitely a lot of fun. And I have to commend everybody in the pits. You know, obviously commend you guys for winning and commend the three car for winning as well. But I've got to commend everybody in the pit area. I think everybody followed the rules, you know, to a T, when it comes time for that social distancing. And I think that it proves the professionalism of the series that everybody, you know, kind of abided by the guidelines, grinned and bared it and everybody left there safe.
Oh yeah, that's for sure. And that was really important because, I mean, we had the chance to be at the track this weekend, and then everybody was taking it really seriously. I mean, this is serious stuff. And just to have the chance to be there, everybody was very happy. At the end of the day, once we are all focused on working on the cars, making sure that we can be ready for the race itself and have everything prepped, the teams were all together, working hard and then following the rules about that, but as well as making sure that we can fight hard on track.
Absolutely.
Now, race two came up. It was Jason Hathaway, and we're going to hear from the Kubota Chevrolet here next. But how did race two go for you, LP, and how did you start the second 125, the Canadian Tire 125? How did you get your starting spot for it?
We draw again the spot for the second race, and we drew the number two at the second position on the front row. But my goal was to cruise around for a little while, again, knowing that I had to save my stuff for the end of the race, because it's really hard on tires, it's really hard on the rear end of the car. You can get loose very quickly at sunset. So we had probably 25 laps in. We were cruising in fourth place, really putting pressure on the guys in front of me, knowing I had a really good car. And then at one point, getting in corner one, I felt that the engine going under me, and I just parked it at the top of one and two. Our engine program is top. We always have good engines. My engine builder is always doing a great, great job. It's like anything in life. At some point, sometimes things happen. And then it was yesterday. We had a problem with that engine, and we'll figure it out. But I'm very confident for the rest of the program. This year there's no official championship that we're racing for. So it is what it is. It's unfortunate because we had a good car. We wanted to try to win back-to-back. But on the other end, it is what it is. We'll figure it out and move on from that.
Absolutely. Looking at the race itself, race number one, it was not shy on action, like you were mentioning about the there was no social distancing on the racetrack. I think that was the most amount of contact that I've ever seen 14 cars make on a racetrack. Look back at race number one. Towards the end of the race, the final green-white checkered, everything, you know, basically the wheels fell off the wagon, and it was like everybody was going for the exact same real estate. There was a lot of action that took place in the final lap there. Take us back to what you remember from that green-white checkered.
It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun because it ended up the way it ended up. But, I mean, green-white checkered can be a lot of fun, and sometimes it can be a nightmare. But for a couple, we had actually two restarts before that, and I thought it was a lot of, a lot of contact and a lot of action and a lot of animosity in our front back. And I was like, all right, this is going to be really interesting. Every time I was starting inside in third place for the restart, actually, I had a lot of wheel spin. Like, I was trying to start in third, and I had a lot of problems to put the power down. And then starting in fourth, it felt like I was just bugging the engine. So starting fourth, that last restart was actually a good thing for me. And I was like, you know what? You never know what's going to happen. And I had a lot of good fights and contact with Taylor, as well as there was a lot of contact with the two guys in front of me, Lacroix and Hathaway. So we were all together, knowing we all had fast cars, and then we wanted the first place all together. So what we did is hang in there and then drive hard and make sure we can fight for the last corner and the last lap, and that's what we did. And you know what? We took our spot, and this is totally different type of racing that we're used to do. When you go for a championship, it's totally different. When you go for a longer race as well, like when you're going to for like a 300 lapper or 250 lapper, it's different strategy. But this is short track, short racing, and you have to be on top of it and take your spot when it's time to take it.
Well, there was a lot of take. That's for sure. And I'm not pointing at you saying there was a lot of take. There was just a lot of take all the way up the front of the field. It was. I tell you what, being a spotter for a guy who restarted seventh in that deal, that was the first time I've ever been tongue tied in my life. And I was tongue tied from the exit of turn two to the checkered flag. Like there was. It was mayhem. It was
so much going on.
It was craziness. And just to see, like, I know there was two cars that got spun around, but just to see that you guys made it back without any significant carnage was insane. And everybody needs to tune in next week to TSN to that broadcast because it was definitely the most action packed half a lap that I've ever seen the Pinty Series put on, and that's a bold statement. You know, last year at Chaudière there was a lot of contact, there was a lot of you know, moving and shaking and rooting for position, and I've seen it plenty of times on races on racetracks like St. Eustache where you guys get, you know, used to get after it, but I tell you what, man, it was amazing to see, and congratulations to you and the entire 47 team there, LP.
Hey, thank you so much. I mean, so proud of that WeatherTech BetMR team, and those guys have been doing such a great job. And I mean, again, we want a fan to be there, but we wish they're going to enjoy that show. And believe me, we tried to go today test at Flamborough, but it was raining in the afternoon, so we had to turn around. But I saw that track, and I can tell you, I've never been there, but at least I got a chance to drive on it on the wet pavement with my car, my street car, and then I was like, okay, this is going to be very interesting, and it's going to give a very good show for the fans, that's for sure.
I'll tell you what, LP, you get a little break now. You get a week off, and then to the tight confines of Flamborough Speedway, track you've never been on, right, other than today where you drove around it. What's your thoughts heading into Flamborough?
it's going to be a very good show. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of good fights around that track, and it's going to provide a very good entertaining race for the fans. And I mean, there's not that much banking. There is some banking, but like longer straights and then tighter corners, let's put it that way, which gonna, you know, give a little opportunity for people for passing. So I guess you're gonna have to create those passing and create those opportunities, and that's usually where the show starts.
And it's gonna be fireworks.
I think it's gonna be Pinty's version of Martinsville. You know, I honestly think it will be, you know, that style of show. Like, you know, you look back on the racetracks that the Pinty Series, you know, has gone to and goes to on a consistent basis. And we go to a lot of momentum tracks, and we go to a lot of very, very small bull rings, right? Like Edmonton, yeah. Barrie Speedway back in the day. You know, those style racetracks. And really, I would class Chaudière as a momentum track as well. Just because of the amount of banking that they have. But when you look at Flamborough Speedway, when you put the guys in the position of having to be on the bottom, and I think with a Pinty's car, there's not going to be a top groove.
No.
You know, I think with a late model, you can make it work. With a modified, you can make it work. You can make the outside work a little bit. But you look at, like, the Lucas Oil Sportsman Cup Series, which is a heavier, boxier car with less power. They can't make the top work. So with all that power, I don't think that the top side is going to even be remotely attractive to anybody. So when you put, you know, these guys in the Pinty Series in the position where they need to be on the bottom and yet they need to make track position, I think Flamborough, I think Flamborough Speedway is going to be one of the best Pinty's races that anybody's ever seen.
Yeah.
And we spent a lot of time talking about that in the hauler this weekend, just, you know, kind of bench racing and talking about what to expect over there. The Pinty series has not raced on a track like Flamborough in a long time.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. Totally right. LP, you're batting 500 now. You're one up, and look at that. All you're going for this year is W's. You got one at Sunset. You're batting 500, my friend.
Yes, sir. Let's do this. Let's make it happen again.
Yeah, good stuff. LP, thanks so much for the time tonight. You get that WeatherTech Cup phone. You may need it at Flamborough. You could throw the video on and just let her rip the whole time.
I love it.
That was a good little sponsor plug there.
Yeah, stay out of trouble, LP. Thanks a million.
Hey, thank you, guys.
You betcha. LP Dumoulin, Victory Lane, race number one at Sunset Speedway. And we got the guy that won the second race. And by the sounds of it, Junior, a dominating performance in that second race by the three car.
Dominating in both races. Really, the three and the 74 were the class of the field for both races. Not to take anything away from the 47, but I don't think that he would even class himself as you know, up there, you know, speed-wise. The three and the 74 were just lights-out rocket ships.
Right.
I will say this. The three car had the coolest save I've ever seen on a racetrack. And that goes a long way because previous to this, I would have given that to J.R. Fitzpatrick when he got spun by Gemmell at Flamborough.
Right.
But the three car did a pirouette down the front straightaway. Didn't touch a guy. So we'll be talking to him about that coming up.
Yes, we will. The Kubota 3. He's coming up on the other side of the break. Don't go anywhere. We will be back.
My name's Ryan Litt, driver of the number 07 Auto Value Super Sprint USAC Sprint Car, and I'm listening to Racetime Radio.
Racetime Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. Dawson Dental Centers. Get your Victory Lane smile at DawsonDental.ca.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on. And
everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24-7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90.
Even though Napa is a nationally known name, nearly all of our stores are built from the ground up by local owners and families. People you might call neighbors will be here, there, and everywhere. Doing what neighbors do to keep their communities moving forward. You stop by a Napa Auto Parts store, you can count on Napa know-how.
Tonight's Racetime Radio is brought to you by Napa Auto Parts Stores, New Glasgow, Antigonish, and Port Hawkesbury, Nova Scotia. You can count on Napa know-how.
Racetime Radio.
Only on Sirius XM 167.
We get you close. If you're looking for miles per gallon, you're definitely at the wrong place. Maybe a few channels up or a few channels down, you'll find it. But this is Racetime Radio.
A little bit of Wheelhouse bringing us back off the break. Welcome back, everybody, to Racetime Radio. Coming up next, we've got Jason Hathaway, driver, the number 3 Orange Kubota. Chevrolet did a fantastic job. By the sounds of it, lights out fast at Sunset Speedway. The NASCAR Pinty Series finally got out of the box for 2020. They've got together, how many races, Junior? What is it? 6, right? You got 6 races.
Yep.
You got 2 at Sunset that went yesterday. The Quick
Doubleheader
at 25,
Flamborough.
The Canadian Tire 125. Then it goes to Flamborough Speedway August 29th. For another twin 125s, right?
Yep.
And then to Jucasa
yep.
on September the 12th. All of it is fanless to this point, but you are going to be able to catch these series races on TSN. Yeah, it's week delay, but you'll be able to get it. What do you say we get back to the hotline now and let's welcome in the winner of that Canadian Tire 125. He drives for Kubota, Canada in the number 3, and we got him right now. Jason Hathaway, what's going on, buddy? How you doing?
Hey, Joe. How you doing, bud?
Fantastic. Good to see you back in Victory Lane. No stranger to Victory Lane. It sounds like you got a rocket ship underneath you again.
Yeah, it was good. It was a good day. Lots of excitement. Good racing, as always, the Pigeon Series puts on. So it was good to get back out a little short track and have a bit of a dog fight and get after it.
Yeah,
dog fight is right.
Sounds like it. You and the 74, a little dyslexia there. You guys sound like you got it on. Who started it and who ended it?
Well, I don't know who ended it or who started it, but, well, I can tell you who started it, but... Anyways, that's the way it goes. I guess he owed me one for Riverside last year is what he told me. So I guess we're all squared away now, and we're ready to race each other clean the rest of the season.
Ah.
So we'll see how that goes.
Well, there's no fun in that when you were watching.
Nobody tells the truth in racing.
Too funny.
Jay, take us back, obviously, to race number 1. We were just talking to LP, and I think we painted a pretty good picture of what we've seen on the racetrack. It was definitely it was a barn burner of a finish. There was a ton of contact. There was a ton of excitement, and I think everybody that watches TSN next week is going to be blown away at what they see from race number 1. But you, prior to that green, white, checkered finish at the end, you had a spin down the front straightaway. Now, there was 3 cars that went around in the span of, like, I'm going to say 150 feet, because the 8 car went around, the 33 went around, and you went around. But you went around and didn't touch anything. That was the most incredible thing, what was going through your mind. And what all caused that?
Well, maybe a 2-second lead or whatever, and it was debris caution that come out and tighten the field up for a late race caution, which always makes for great TV. And Kevin LaCroix and I were racing there, and he got in the inside of me off 4, got in the side of my quarter panel, spun me around. I thought I was heading for the fence straight on, and the car kept spinning, and then I thought I was going to back it into the fence, and then I just stood on the gas, spun it right around, and I looked ahead, and he was in front of me. I never lost the spot, so come out of there, and I guess we were so far ahead of others that I didn't happen to lose a spot. I guess they just put us right back, and then they go back to the last completed lap when the yellow came out. So that put me back in the lead, the way I understand it, the way they played out. So that set us up for another couple restarts with all of us bunched up, and then, you know, a little more contact with the 74 and I, and next thing you know, we're spun around again in 3 and 4, you know, coming to the checkered. So not once, but twice, but 3 times we got together in the first race and made some excitement for others behind us too. So anyways, it was, it'll be a good show on TSN when it plays.
Well, twirling down the front straightaway at Sunset Speedway. I think for all the race fans that haven't seen Sunset before that's listening, there's an inside wall and an outside wall. If you spin on the front straightaway at Sunset, you're changing your front clip. 99.9% of the time, you're cutting the front clip off your car, and you're going to weld a new one on Monday.
Yep.
And where you went around was at the place where everybody needs to change a front clip, and it was the coolest piece of driving. You know, the best save in Canadian short track racing for me prior to this was J.R. Fitzpatrick doing a relatively similar deal, keeping the lead at Flamborough Speedway after going around off the nose of Shea Gamel. There's no inside wall there, so sorry, JR, you lost that spot. Jason Hathaway owns that now, and it was definitely pretty cool. And there's video confirmation of it coming out soon.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, no, it was, luck was on our side on that one. Not so lucky we didn't get the win for Kubota and Chaco and Fast Eddie and all of our partners, but you know, that's okay. We regrouped and got after it in the second one and put in. Pretty good beating on the boys, I would say, and grabbed the trophy and checker flag and headed.
So was Fast Eddie, was the boss at the race? Was he able to be there for the win?
Yeah, he was, and it's his birthday again on Monday, tomorrow, so grabbed him a checker flag again this year like we did last year. So, you know, I better get my contract renewed for next year. I after this weekend.
That's one way to secure your deal. I can tell you that, Jay. You keep putting the numbers up. You've been really good here the last, 3 years? You've had good success. The crew must be doing their job. Everything's got to be coming together.
Yeah, we've been working hard all winter and all summer, actually, now, since we didn't start it till now. But, we tested all three tracks that we're going to race at. So, we're taking this serious. It's not just a crazy year and a crazy race season. So, we're going after it. And we said to the boys, we got six races, and I won all six. So, we almost had it the first two, but we got one. So, we're starting off real well. So, it was good. It was a little, I was a little stressed out in the morning trying to get four teams organized with everybody, and nobody knew anybody, and all new equipment for most of the guys together. So that was a little hectic in the morning with the HR bringing four teams, but pretty smooth. We had Brett Taylor in the first one, finished third, and we had Connor, myself, 1-2 in the second one there. So, had that old Ford of Donald Chisholm there at second, so that was pretty cool. So
yeah.
Good to see that old red there back on the podium.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool. I haven't seen that. I'll be looking for it on TSN. That'll be cool.
It was a perfect segue kind of into my question. What was it like having four teams? I think you just covered it off, but it's been a while since EHR has had two cars at a racetrack, let alone four. Four cars is definitely a big undertaking, and I think that Connor James turned a lot of heads yesterday. He did a phenomenal job for you guys,
yeah.
And in that eight car, he was just on point all day long. Obviously, ended with some damage, but not of his doing at all.
No. He did a great job, and he's a great little race car. Testing a film row with us there, a couple short little stint there. He actually went 10th quicker than I did in the car. So, well, the boys took attention to that, and we realized that this kid can drive. So. Like I said, he's got Donald Chisholm's oval car, and he's got my motor from Ducati from last year, so he's got everything he needs to win. So
yeah.
He did a great job wheeling it, and he was a little frustrated after the first one when he got, the nose knocked off of there, and he was ready to park it for the day, and I went over and told the boys to get the nose off the thing and tape it up and do what you got to do, and you might as well get out for the second one, so that's why we're here. So next thing you know, he's up in the second, passing the 74 with a couple to go, so
that's
was pretty cool for him and his family, so.
Yeah, good stuff. You guys know how to do it. You do it right, and that's what you got to do when you're out there. Jay, you guys head to Flamborough Speedway next, a track that I do believe you have laps on, not in a Pindy's car, but I believe you've got laps on at Flamborough Speedway.
I've got J.R. Fitzpatrick dragged me out to a Frostfest in 2009 in a street stock, so that's... That's my experience there, and then prior to that, it was 1999 in another street stock. So that's about all I got around Flamborough. But I've had a few guys that I know that are real well. Brad Collison is a good buddy of mine, and he's actually already texted me a few times, gave me a few pointers, what to do and what not to do on the track. He's got lots of laps there, so we'll listen to him. And then a couple other guys that I know, JR, obviously, him and I have been back and forth talking, and he'll give me a few pointers along the way too, I hope.
you can't trust everything that he says, though, about setup wise.
No.
He will try to mess with you a little bit.
Yeah. I like to think we're good buddies, so hopefully he gives me maybe 50% in the right direction.
That's right.
The success you've been having, I wouldn't doubt there'll be a lot of guys asking you some questions, even though those cars haven't been there. You've been knocking it out.
We do have a listener question, actually. Just somebody here from just tweeted, what right front spring were you using this past weekend?
Yesterday?
Yeah.
Sunset?
Yeah.
350.
Okay, perfect.
The round one, right? The round spring about this high.
Exactly.
Yeah.
350.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Put it in. That's all you need.
That's all you need. That's the magic, right?
Exactly.
For such a messed up year, now that we are actually getting some laps in, does it kind of feel like a little bit of normal now for you guys?
It did in the pits, and with all the haulers and all the teams, you got to see some guys that, face-to-face that you talk to on the phone and so on. But a little weird at the track with no fans, even getting out after a win. I mean, you have the TSN cameras and some NASCAR folks and so on down there. But a little weird getting out there. But, same deal. Crews pumped up and you get a trophy and a flag and do some interviews. And everything kind of went back to normal on that side of things. So it was good. I'm just glad we got to, get some races in. I like the format. I like the, twin 125s and,
a half hour in the middle or whatever it was, 45 minutes, and get going again. And, we're doing what we need to do to get some racing in for this season for our sponsors. So that's why we put such a big effort into it from our side with, our group and even others and four teams to try to help out the series too. So we're doing our part, and so is everybody else. So, even Larry Johnson had to go pick up Simone yesterday's car because his truck and trailer wouldn't start. So, everybody's doing what they need to do to help out and grow the series and make sure we have a 2020 race season.
Larry Jackson needs an MVP award for the efforts that he put on yesterday, because really, like you said, he drove and he got Simone's car, brought it to the racetrack, practiced his own car, raced his own car, then his team came down and welded the rear calipers on the 28 car that Jason White knocked off through the race, and then he went out there and raced again. So it was the Larry Jackson camp are definitely good people.
Yeah, for sure. Great guys there to have a good time, have some fun, do some racing and help out where they can. So we need 10 more Larry Jacksons.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
It's got to feel different, too, Jason. You're out there running. Of course, you want to win every time you get in. But normally, a little bit in the back of the mind, it's got to be thinking, okay, I gained this many points. Hold on a second. There is no points. We're just going for wins here. Did it flash through your mind at all? I got the win, and I got the points. I don't need them.
Yeah, well, a little bit. I mean, honestly, I don't really care about the points. I don't really chase points. If what happens, it happens. Whatever happens at the end of the year, when they tally them all up, we'll figure out where we are. But I just like to win. If I won five races and lost a championship, I'd be happier. So, you just can't beat the feeling of winning and making your team proud and family and sponsors and everything else that goes along to make these NASCAR teams roll. So it's I'm all about wins, man.
Yeah. I know you are. I love watching you on the racetrack. That number three car, when it's on, and it sounds like I'm going to be in for a good one come TSN time next weekend. Off to Flamborough Speedway on the 29th, and then back to Jukasi. You love that place, as long as that pesky Brett ain't around.
Yeah, exactly. I'm looking forward to Flamborough. Our series has never been there, there's probably only a few guys that have some laps, maybe some testing and so on. But looking forward to that. That'll be another dogfight for sure. And Jukasa to end our little series here, little season. So it's another one we always look forward to going to. We had some success there, kind of everything we've been in. So it's one on the schedule that we're all looking forward to.
Now, will it be a four-car effort once again come Flamborough Speedway, or what's the plan looking like there?
Yep, all season. Yep.
Wow.
All season, six races.
Six
races. But, the whole year we got four teams going to every race. So Dexter Stacey came back and ran with us there. So that was good to see. And he's committed to, the other two races as well. So we had a little issue, sway bar arm broke on his car. We figured that out today when we unloaded it.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
That poor guy, man. If there was a definition of tight, you look up tight in the dictionary, and there's a picture of Dexter Stacey's car from Sunset Speedway on there, because he would drive through the center of the quarter and the car
just pushed like a dump truck.
It looked like John Force's car.
I texted him this morning, sent him a couple pictures of what we found, and apologized a few times to him and his dad. So not the way EHR brings race cars to the racetrack. So we'll. He's on the hoist. He's the first car to be fixed this week, so we'll get him fixed up and get Dexter pointing in the right direction for Flamborough.
Well, what's going to be the occasion now? Eddie's birthday's over. You got him a checkered flag. Is it time to get Jamie something, or what? What is going to be the goal at Flamborough Speedway with the win?
Yeah, we better get her a flag. Better get her something. I don't know. I don't think the jewelry store probably would be better off than a flag, but. Yeah, no, we're going after two more at Flamborough, and hopefully we can continue on the success we had from Sunset. So we had a pretty badass car.
I was going to say, fastest tractor I've ever seen.
Exactly.
You bet. Jay, thanks so much for the time tonight here on Race Time. We surely appreciate it. And you take her easy. Get those cars prepped. I know I'm going to be looking forward to seeing what you can do at Flamborough Speedway. It's going to be cool.
Okay, awesome, guys. Thanks, guys, for everything you guys do, and good seeing you yesterday there, Joe.
Yeah, you too.
You betcha.
Okay.
Jason Hathaway, off he goes. Dynamite stuff, good race for him. Want to put a shout-out to Trayton Lapcevich. He made his NASCAR Pindy's debut in the 18 car. And by the sounds of it, he did tremendous. I want to say a second and a fourth, I do believe. I read somewhere today, two top five finishes. What a talented young man he is. Of course, his older brother, Caden Lapcevich, and his dad, Jeff. That's just a racing family. And I'll tell you what, Trayton did a fantastic job in the races here yesterday. And it'd be kind of cool to see him in that Pindy series on a regular basis, Junior. It'd be really cool.
Yeah, definitely. He looked like an old veteran out there. He rooted and gouged when he had to. He saved his stuff when he had to. He settled into a rhythm. It's not surprising because everything that he's ever been in, he's done the exact same thing. He races with a tremendous amount of, smarts, right? That's the best way you could put it. He's an intelligent race car driver. And, he gets every inch, everything that you can possibly get out of that race car, he gets it every single lap. And, if the car is a fourth place car, he will finish fourth.
Yep.
He is the model of what a good race car driver is. And over time, he's going to continue to get better, and it's incredible to see, now he's with a great team, right?
Sure.
Steckley, the 18 car, that team, works harder, or just as hard as all of the top teams in the NASCAR Pinty Series garage, and really sets the bar in a number of categories. But what an opportunity for him. And, I look forward to seeing what he can put together long-term into the future, because I think if he got into a full-time Pinty's ride, he'd be a threat for a championship in a heartbeat.
And cool to see Jason White from Sun Peaks, BC, back in Ontario in a NASCAR Pinty's car. Didn't have the day he wanted, but nice to see Jason back here. He's been a busy guy doing different things, running at Daytona in the trucks and Phoenix. He's been out there experiencing a bunch. Nice to see him back in behind the wheel.
Yeah, definitely. He was a lot of fun yesterday, and he was fourth quick in practice, and he was definitely on top of it. Just missed it a little bit on the DJK camp, on the setup, I think the entire team knows exactly what we missed, and I guarantee you, when DJK Racing pulls into Flamborough Speedway, it's going to be a different look to the 17 finishing roster, if you will.
Yeah, it's going to be dynamite. That'll be a good one.
It's going to be really good. I'm stoked to see Flamborough Speedway with the Pindy Series.
Yeah, it's going to be dynamite. We are going to throw it back to Toronto, get you up to date on some news and highlights that you may have missed over the last hour or so. And then Junior and I are going to be back for hour two. We've got Jonathan Hicken coming up, driver the number 5. He went out and won the International at Petty International Raceway. It was the International 150. And look at this, Jonathan Hicken back in victory lane. He's going to join us. We're also going to catch up with Andrew Grizzell, driver of the number 81, as the APC Series gets all set for the beach coming up this coming weekend. So lots to cover in hour two. We will be back. Stay with us right here on Racetime Radio.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, Channel 167.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on.
Perfect! Woo!
Everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90. With the two Joes
here on Racetime Radio
on Sirius XM 167,
where Canada talks.
Oh, the big boom. And that is how you come back to hour two. Tighten those belts up, everybody. We got a good hour coming up for you. And we're going to go right back to the hotline right now. And let's go all the way out to Prince Edward Island, and we'll bring in another winner. How about this? Jonathan Hicken continues to have success at Petty International Raceway. Just last night, it was the River Glade International 150, and look who it is in Victory Lane, the 5 car. Let's welcome him in, Jonathan Hicken. What's going on? How you doing, bud?
How you doing, Joe? Thanks for having me on tonight.
Fantastic. More success at Petty. You've lit the lamp once again. What was that one like?
Oh, it was a good crowd of cars, good weather. Good racing, really, all day. Just a lot of heat through the day. Just try and get things figured out. But we unloaded pretty quick. The Fury race cars, all prepared by my brother Andrew Hicken, as you all know. And it just comes out of the box pretty strong, week in, week out, and it's getting to be a lot of fun to drive.
Yeah, what was it, like 27 cars at the race? Yeah. Did they start them all?
They started them all, yeah. Everybody got their start in the time trial, and then the heat races, and then started everybody in the feature. So
where did you roll off? Did you roll off on pole?
No, we rolled off fourth, I believe it was. Won the heat, time trialed fourth quick, I guess it was, and then won the second heat and started fourth, P4 in the 150 then.
Yeah, not bad. Now, I had a look at Tim Terry's release. It sounds like Ashton Tucker was fast once again. It sounds like the two of you guys were going at it for the win. What was it like running with that two car? You can't seem to get away from him this year.
Ashton, I tell you, he's one to, definitely one to watch between Fredericton and Petty. Petty's got something going on. He's going to be one of the rising stars for sure in the future. He's a good hard racer, very smooth, and he usually keeps the nose on it. He's there at the end. He had a little bit better car than I did towards the end. I raced Cole Butcherman and Corey Hall quite hard just to stay out, and I want that lane choice every caution, you know. So it's just one of them things. I wanted to stay out in front and try and hold everybody off, but Ashton had a little bit more than I did at the end, but all in all, it got a little bit wild the last few laps, and he got into my door, moved me up the track, and I just returned the favor with a couple laps to go, and it was all I needed, but just good hard race, and we shook hands after it, and I think all was good.
Hey, yeah, man, that's short track racing, right?
Yeah, that's right.
That's what it's all about.
Yeah,
you guys didn't wreck each other.
That's right.
You guys moved each other. You didn't wreck each other.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, just again, we get locked together down the back chute, and he get up into my door in the next corner. I just slipped behind him and kind of crossed him over, I guess, into the next corner, and we get the bumper to him and move him up the track again, and it's all I need is a couple to go, I guess, two or three laps to go, and that's all I needed to stay in front of him, and we got the job done.
Were you expecting the contact when it happened, Jonathan? Like, could you feel him? Were you kind of anticipating that there could be?
I knew he was there, and I knew he did have a better car because he rolled up on me fairly quick and got to me inside. I give him enough room on the inside, and I just figured he'd roll on through because he did have enough laps at the end of it where he could have rolled on through without getting into me too much. But
yeah,
anyway, I don't know if he slipped up or whatever, but I mean, it don't really matter. It's just it's just good hard racing. It's lots of fun. I'd do it all over again with him, you know what I mean. He's just no hard feelings on either end, and they're a good crew. He's a good wheel man. They got a good thing going on. He's winning some races, and he's proving himself.
Well, and it happens fast, too, on a short track, right? Especially Petty, and you got lots of laps there. Now, you rolled off fourth. How long did it take you to get the lead, and how long did you keep the lead?
I think we led 130-some laps. I'm going to say 135 laps of the 150.
Wow. So,
didn't take too long. Just got to pick your steps and watch the first few, and then keep the fenders on. There had been a few cautions, which made it easier on the restarts to get by them without too much trouble. And then once we were out front, we could dictate the restarts and go from there.
How was the lap traffic? Did you get into much lap traffic, and did they, get out of the way, or did you have your work cut out getting around some of them?
There was a lot of lap traffic time to time. They had a 40-lap mandatory caution and smooth until 30 to go, and we sort of threw some lap traffic, but all in all, they were good for the most part. The top groove kind of prevailed for me through the whole race. They had the top of attack. And Austin was real good on the bottom, or Ashton was real good on the bottom, but I ran the top the whole night, so the lap pairs would stay right on the bottom, and you could just roll around on the top.
Jonathan, how was the crowd at the event? Like, I don't think the New Brunswick people understand how lucky they are. You know, to get to see racing in Canada, to get to go and sit in the grandstand. It's so cool to see what New Brunswick has been able to do. And by all accounts, from all the photos that I've seen, the fans are doing a great job of staying away from each other as well and not creating an issue, right? Like, there's social distancing there, but they get to take in the race and they get to take in, some of this great action. What was the atmosphere like at the event?
Oh, it was good. The fans are always huge there. The fans are a good part of the whole race of the deal. And Wayne at Petty International, he's doing a great job. He's drawing in the fans. He's doing right. He's got the right amount of laps. He's paying good. It's just he's doing everything right to draw everybody in. And it showed on the weekend. They had big car counts, big fan base. It was a good event all around, and good weather. I mean, that brings anybody out in its own, but he's doing well, and you got to applaud him for doing that. He's working hard at it, and he's going to make hay while the sun shines. You know what I mean? He's one of the off between him and Fredericton. There's only two tracks going around here, and it's all he can be doing. So it's nice to be able to have a spot to go to.
Oh, yeah, I guess you would not believe how much we are missing our East Coast stuff. It's just been ridiculous. Whenever I think of what is what we're missing out there, I get a little pit in my stomach. It drives me that crazy. But good to see that you're having success, Jonathan. What's next for you? Are you off to 660? And how many more are in the forecast for you this year?
Yeah, we're going to do the Labor Day 660 deal, the 250 up there. It's a two-day event, Saturday and Sunday. I believe it's the 5th and 6th. And then back to Petty for the Mike Stevens 200s, the memorial race. I enjoy doing that one and have lots of success at Petty, and I'd like to get back there. And I'd like to have a little bit of success at 660. The last couple times we were up there for the shows up there, I had a good car and just kind of fell off in the feature, but we're getting some good notes, and I'm learning. It's been a while since I've been up there, and we're getting some laps logged there. It's hard to beat the two car, but we're going to see what we can do speed weekend and see what we can do on a long run.
Nah, it's going to be awesome. I wish we could join you out there. That 250 at 660 is a gas. Always a great event. I watched it one year on Pit Row TV. It was dynamite. There again, wished I could have been there. And maybe this year Tim will have some live coverage of that race. We'll be able to take it in here as well. It's great to see that you are continuing your success. Mike Stevens Memorial, how many of those have you got? I think you've won them all, haven't you?
No, I haven't won them all. I think there's three there anyways, I believe. Three, maybe four. couple in the King Care and then one of my own last year. It was a big money deal last year. They pay laps later, halfway bonuses and all that kind of stuff. So it's, yeah, you like getting there, and the atmosphere is good with the Stevens family there. Robbie helps me out sponsor-wise all the time, and he's a great all-around fellow. He's just the whole family. They're a great bunch of people, and they enjoy the race, and they know what it's all about. They've all been there, and we like winning for them.
Wow, that Chapman Brothers construction got to be some happy with the success you have had so far with that number five car. You got to keep it going, brother. You got to keep it going, and we'll keep your spot warmed up here on race time. Sound good?
Yeah, that's right. Craig Chapman and all the boys there, appreciate all their help. They're a big, major part of the organization, King Race and Redline Sport and Cycle, CPM, Weights Fabrication. The list goes on and on, you know what I mean? It takes a lot to get the cars to go around the track, a lot of people, my crew, everybody that helps out, it's always appreciated, and wouldn't be able to do it without them.
Well, good luck at 660. You're going to go up against the best out there. It's going to be kind of cool. Jonathan, thanks so much for the time tonight on Race Time. Say hi to Andrew and all the boys out there. Tell them we miss them, and keep their nose to the grindstone, and you keep doing what you're doing, and I know we'll be talking lots.
Yes, for sure. Great, guys. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. Jonathan Hicken, driver of the number five. Another big checkered flag for Jonathan. Tell you, I've watched this guy race for the last 10 years, and it is just amazing. The competition that is out there on Canada's East Coast in the Pro Stock, whether we're talking the Parts for Trucks Maritime Pro Stock Tour, or, you know, they've got some dynamite special events that the guys all go to, they all support. And I'll tell you, there's got to be, like, if there's 25 cars in the race, there's got to be 20 of them that can go win it.
Yeah,
and that's what you want to see.
Yeah, there's a ton of competition out there, and they love their motorsports in a different way than everywhere else in Ontario or in Canada.
Yeah,
you know, Ontario
yeah.
loves motorsports. There's a tremendous following here in Ontario. There's a tremendous following in Quebec. I would say that the fan base is stronger in Quebec, like fandom. You know, like the fan base of motorsports in Quebec is second to none. The motorsports community on the racer side is second to none in the
Maritimes. Yep.
And you know, I would put Ontario in the loop on both of those. Like, they'd be in the top three in each of those categories. But when you look at the you know, the abilities, the passion behind the sport, I would say that the Maritimes has it, you know, in lockstep with the rest of the country.
Yeah, they absolutely love it. They got a bunch of great racetracks out there.
Yep.
Teams are all in it. They have an event, and the guys show up.
Yeah.
They show up in droves, and so do the fans, and that's what you want to see.
Yeah, definitely. And really, man, how you look at the success that New Brunswick is having with the ability to have events.
Oh, it's driving everybody nuts out there.
It's driving everybody nuts everywhere.
Sure.
That they can have it and we can't, or vice versa.
Yeah.
You know, when you look at Riverside, for instance.
Right.
It's only a 2.5 hour drive, thereabouts?
Yeah, thereabouts.
Three hour drive to 660 or to the other tracks, right, or to Petty. Even if it's a 4 hour drive, it's pretty close, but they can have a relatively full grandstand with, you know, capacity and with social distancing and all that stuff. They can have a full crowd, but, you know, in Nova Scotia you can't. And here you're only allowed 100 people. So what a different world, you know. we're living in a weird time.
Yeah, it is, and hopefully it all gets cleaned up here in 2020 and then 2021. We're able to go back to what we all know as normal at a speedway. It's vital that we get to do that, and it's appreciated for all the races that are taking place now across the country. I can tell you that fans are appreciating whatever they can to witness short track racing. Everybody's missing it. Even the teams, you know, they get out to a track and they're missing the fans being at the speedway. And so, a lot of guys, they can't bring their whole crew.
Yeah.
They got only five, right, yep. including the drivers. So that's, you know, there's weight on the crews. I know I was speaking to one driver the other night doing a test at Sauble, getting prepared for the APC weekend that's coming up at Sauble Speedway, which I might add, it's going to be closed to the public, but you're going to be able to watch the whole thing live on GeForce.tv. It's going to be outstanding. It's the Stewart's 100 for the APC series. Going to be their second race of the year.
Yep.
We're going to talk to Andrew Grizzell here in just a few more minutes. We'll get it up with Andrew. We'll have a look at, he's one fast cat when you talk the beach, and we'll catch up with him. But it's going to be a huge show. Fans can't go, but they're going to be able to watch it on GeForce. It's going to be epic.
Yeah, it will be. You know, and we were talking about it last night. When's the last time you've seen four classes with the APC series at a racetrack? Really?
Never.
Like in general?
Never.
Right?
I don't think I've ever seen four classes.
No, it's going to be definitely intense. And four classes with huge car counts.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
When you look at the amount of cars that are going to be at Sauble Speedway, it's going to be a really cool show.
Yes. You don't want to miss it.
If you can bring 22 or 25. You know, prolates, and you can bring, you know, 20 to 25, you know, Oscar hot rods, or super stocks,
Hot rods and the
midgets.
Sprint cars.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's going to be a great show. I wish now that, you know, that there's lots of classes I'd like to see, but I kind of wish the modifieds were also on the loop for the weekend, but you can't fit absolutely everything.
I wish the ARCA series was there too, and the and the truck series. You know, I wish.
But
it's going to be a cool show.
Yes, it is. We're going to hit this quick break. When we come back, we're going to hear from some of those winners at Daytona just this weekend as history was being made. Stay with us. We will be back.
Hey, this is Ray Dunlap, and if you want to know what's going on in motorsports, make sure you tune in to Racetime Radio.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on. Oh.
Perfect! Everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio
Channel 90.
Even though Napa is a nationally known name, nearly all of our stores are built from the ground up by local owners and families. People you might call neighbors will be here, there, and everywhere. Doing what neighbors do to keep their communities moving forward. You stop by a Napa Auto Parts store, you can count on Napa know-how.
Tonight's Racetime Radio is brought to you by Napa Auto Parts Stores, New Glasgow, Antigonish, and Port Hawkesbury, Nova Scotia. You can count on Napa know-how.
Taking you all the way to the track and back.
And we are back with you live tonight on Racetime Radio. We've got to welcome everybody from SiriusXM Channel 167, Canada Talks, every Sunday night, 9 p.m. Now, a little bit of a delay, right, this time of the year, with no op in the studio due to COVID-19. SiriusXM's working on that, and soon as they get that all figured out, then Racetime Radio is going to be right back with you live on Sunday nights. But until then, yes, you are listening to a delayed show, but there's still some great content in here that you absolutely won't find anywhere else. We also want to welcome our listeners from the Performance Motorsport Network.com that airs Racetime Radio each week on their outlet, along with Gearhead Country Radio, 98.9 XFM, Andy Ganesh, Nova Scotia. Hello to absolutely all of you out there. And if you happen to have missed the show and you want to Quick way to get it, just get to iTunes, search Racetime Radio, click like and subscribe, and you'll never miss Racetime Radio again. That's the way it happens, Junior,
absolutely.
Just like that.
100%. You can figure out a way to find us somewhere. There's a bat signal up in the sky, too.
Somewhere. Yeah, you'll be able to find it. Racetime Radio. History was made this past weekend at Daytona International Speedway. We're used to seeing the guys fly around on that big 2.5 mile super speedway. And this weekend, it was all about road racing, and they used what normally takes place for the 24 hours of Daytona with another little kink involved, because they did put that little kink.
Oh, yeah, they put it, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That isn't there for the 24 hours of Daytona.
Now, for anybody so that's listening,
that's
like a hardcore road course fan
right.
of the Daytona road course, there is a kink on the inside.
Well, there is.
So
there is,
to
but it's
say
a
that you're
going to
add
spot.
A kink, you know, I looked at you like, what?
Yeah.
They didn't add that. Like,
they
that was part
didn't.
Of the, like, that's always been part. It's like, it's one of the most, you know, famous, not corners, it's one of the most famous points in a road course.
Kink.
The kink.
The kink. That was good. It was a great race.
It was a great race.
It all got started with the ARCA Menards series, and it was Venturini car going to victory lane. How about Dino with the number 25? It was Michael Self. He ended up going to victory lane, got a quick clip with him after the race. Here is what Michael had to say about the race.
No, this is so special to me. I mean, anytime you win anything at Daytona, it's really, really cool and really special. Obviously, to do this twice, you know, to win on the big track earlier this year and to come do this is a little extra special for me. I mean, road racing just has such a special place in my heart. You know, that's where I come from. I spend a lot of time when I'm not racing coaching guys in the Trans Am series with the Mike Cope Racing team. And to go out and to justify that, you know, to do what we did tonight just makes me feel so good because I don't get to race – I don't get to road race all that often, and so this is extremely special for me.
Put a whooping on him.
He did, and good for him, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep. That's his background.
Yep.
That's his background. You never know it because he wins on ovals, too.
Yeah. Michael Self is he's doing pretty well in the ARCA series.
Yes, he is.
He's
all-round driver.
He's kind of positioning himself to be, like, he's not trying to go cup racing, right? He's racing in the ARCA series.
And loves it.
And, you know, he's kind of positioning himself to be like a Frank Kimmel in the ARCA series. He's
right.
He's being like a Johnny Benson in the truck series type deal, you know,
uh-huh.
like he's or a Matt Crafton for that matter. You know, like he's not trying to go cup racing one day. He's trying to win ARCA races. And, you know, there's a spot for that in every division, whether it be, you know, street stock, whether it be late model, whether it be ARCA. There's a spot for the veteran in the series, and he is that guy right now.
He is, and he's doing a whale of a job. The trucks took to the track. Well, we'll do Xfinity, because the Xfinity series took to the track yesterday. And how about Sendrick? This guy has just been burning it up. What's he got? 5 wins out of the last 6 races.
Yeah.
Have been Austin Sendrick.
He's kicking right now.
Oh, man, is he kicking it. Quick clip with him after the race, after the win at Daytona.
Yeah, obviously it was a lot of survival there at the end. You know, that's what makes these races as difficult as they are is to make it to the finish. So, obviously, we were a contender all day and tried to get a race car a little better. And obviously had to fight through in that second stage to try and regain some track position. Yeah, just a solid day, really, up until that point. Obviously, being on the bottom on that restart, I felt like I had made enough mistakes trying to come through the field, you know, diving 3 wide to the outside, knowing that there was a pretty big grip limitation trying to do that. So I saw it coming, but I was surprised that I did it too, to be 100% honest. So that obviously was kind of the catalyst for us today and put us in a great spot to be able to execute on a restart and come away with a win.
That 98 car was right there, too. He had the lead and then blew one of the kinks.
Yep.
And that was, you know, he did battle back, but what a race.
Yep.
What a race. What a finish. And it was like that throughout the course of the race. Delayed for Lightning, just somewhat similar to what the Cup race was.
Yeah. But which, they got to race with some wet conditions in the Xfinity.
It was kind of messed up because on the first lap around, NASCAR said it is
wet conditions.
Damp conditions.
Yes, exactly.
Damp conditions, which means you got to run rain tires. You have to.
No, it means that you're allowed to run rain.
No, well, okay. They said wet conditions then, where the guys had to have rain tires on. And then they did a full lap around. It's still under yellow behind the pace car. And when they come back, there was a lot of teams chattering, saying, man, the track's bone dry.
Yeah.
It's bone dry. So I know on the broadcast they were saying, what are these guys going to do? And I believe it was Dale Jr. said, I know what I'd do. I'd be coming in and grabbing my slicks right now and then head out. Yeah. You can make up track position.
Yeah.
But if you go out there on rain tires and it's dry.
Yeah, you're at
you're done.
You're at a severe disadvantage.
Yeah, severe. And it's a long way around, right?
Yeah.
So it made for another wrinkle in it.
Yeah.
And it was something else. It was kind of cool to see.
It was for sure. I thought for sure we were going to see some rain in the Cup Series. I still to this day,
yeah.
the only time that I've ever seen the Cup cars with rain tires on was in a practice session at Watkins Glen. It's still to this day, we haven't seen a Cup race in the rain yet.
No,
and
not yet.
That is something that we thought we were going to get to see today, but we didn't.
No. Well, the truck race was on track today before that Cup race happened, and it was Sheldon Creed going to victory lane. He not only went to victory lane and got a second win, but he also picked up a $50,000 bonus. Here's what he had to say at the end of the race.
Yeah. Honestly, just a little nerve-wracking under caution there when both of those cautions came out. I think I had a lot of confidence by that time, so that helped a lot. I just tried not to get myself worked up, and honestly, just looked out the windshield and listened to Derek, and I did look up a couple times in mid-corner when he'd be there, and I'd just park it on the bottom so he couldn't get a runoff on me, and just try to be really smooth. I lost the back like twice that last lap, and he would get to me, but then I could get the tires back rolling. But man, you never want to see those cautions, especially when we had a big lead there with five to go. You don't want to see those things come out, and it came out, and then it came out again. So I know a lot of people say I tear it up and I ruin it, which I have, but today we finished it off, and it feels really good to get another win, get playoff points, really good points day for us, actually, and then just 50 grand. That's pretty cool. I don't know if I'll see much of it, but just thankful to be a part of it.
The he that Sheldon was talking about within that interview was Brett Moffitt. Brett
yep.
Moffitt was right there.
Yeah, he was.
Was right there. And I didn't know. I had no idea if Moffitt was going to be able to get him. Quite a finish. Quite a finish, quite a race.
Yeah, definitely. The Truck Series put on a great show. And I think by all accounts, the road course at Daytona was a success.
Easy for you to say.
Hard for me to say.
Okay. The number four truck, before we are finished with our truck coverage, the number four truck, of course, driven by Raphael Lazard, a Canadian out of Quebec, driving for KBM, did a marvelous job once again in that truck, tying his best finish yet in a truck with a third-place finish. They got a couple words with Raphael after the race. Here's what he had to say about the Fours Day.
It was awesome. I mean, first of all, I want to thank my team, Gabush Motorsport, and my crew chief, Mike Hillman Jr. We sat down before the race, studied some in-car from yesterday, the Xfinity race, and I think it helped a ton. And I learned a lot watching videos of onboard yesterday. And, yeah, the race was awesome. It was kind of a weird situation because no one's been here before in NASCAR. And I feel like that's what it's been like for me every race so far this year. Being a rookie, no practice, every time I get in turn one, the first lap, is a first for me. So I was I think it was an advantage going into this race for me because I'm used to it. And at first, it just Ken thanks TRD for allowing us to have to go to the TRD simulator and practice on the road course. I mean, that made a big difference for me.
What a tough year to be a rookie in any class, right, Junior? Like,
yeah.
Especially in Cup here or trucks, Xfinity, zero practice time.
Yep.
Get in your truck, go drive.
Yep.
And it, like Raphael says, a lot of these tracks, this is the first time he's been on them,
yep.
let alone in a truck. So this was kind of like the equalizer race for him. Good to see he had success, and it was really looking promising early. Raphael was out front. He and Tagliani on that final segment started that race 1-2.
Exactly.
So it was good to see. Real good to see. He's doing a good job. That first win for that number four is right around the corner. It's coming. He's going to get it. I got a feeling he's going to get a win before this is all said and done at Phoenix this year, not Homestead.
I think so, too. I think he's knocking on the door. Obviously, you know, he's torn some stuff up, which is, you know, to be expected, you know, for a rookie. But he's also had some great runs, you know, some shining moments. So definitely wouldn't surprise me to see a KBM truck in Victory Lane by any stretch.
Yeah, yeah.
And really, he needs to go to Victory Lane. Otherwise, you know, the opportunities start to dry up. We've seen it numerous times now. Todd Gilliland, Harrison Burton are you know, prime examples. Now, Harrison landed on his feet, and so did Todd.
Right, right.
Just by being there and by gaining the opportunity. So it's not a bad thing. It's just, you know, Kyle Busch expects you to win. If you're in a KBM truck, a second place, a fourth place, a fifth place, don't matter. He wants to see you win.
I felt bad for Christian Eckes.
Yeah, definitely.
Wrecked again right at the end of the race.
Yep.
He was wore out. He was beat up. The truck was beat up. Felt bad for him.
Yep.
I literally felt bad for him.
Yeah.
Because I'll tell you, he is putting everything he's got into these races.
Yeah.
He just can't buy a break.
No, he can't.
So it's going to come. And when it does, it'll come like a waterfall.
Exactly.
He'll get, you know, win after win, and, you know, success is going to breed success.
Yep.
It's coming. It's coming. He's going to do good.
Exactly.
We need to mention something here.
Yeah.
The Oscar Modifieds.
Yeah.
Let's go back to that for a moment.
Do we
Andy
have to?
Andy Kamrath.
Do we have to go back to that?
Yes, we do. Andy Kamrath won the race at Jukasa.
Yep.
We didn't have him on the air.
No.
We didn't have him on the air. We will get Andy Kamrath on. The particular night that I'm talking about was that last week? It was last week. We were jammed up. And, you know,
I mean, we have
only so much we can fit in.
We have a two-hour broadcast.
And I was hoping that we would feature the Modifieds in one of these nights before the end of the year.
Yeah.
And we're gonna.
Yeah.
And it's not like we don't have any Modified coverage on here.
No.
But you,
there was definitely some comments that stood out to me that were made. You know, one from Gary McLean.
Never got a release either, I might add.
No. Right? So
the release came in on Tuesday.
There were a few people saying that you know, the Modifieds don't get any coverage, and they never have in Ontario. And that is definitely something that I kind of took offense to, and I kind of lashed out a little bit on social media, you know, just kind of defending the stance. We cover everything from four cylinders to late models. Now, we talk about late models a lot.
Sure we do.
We talk about NASCAR a lot. We talk about those other series a lot. We talk about hot rods a lot. Whatever. We talk about racing. If there is something that happens, then we talk about it. Now, a majority of the stuff that we talk about are sent to us, a release, whether it be from a team, from a sanctioning body, from a sponsor.
Yep, we've picked up some information.
If you have information that you want out, we have made it very clear that you can send us a note, a text message, an email, a carrier pigeon, I don't care. Send the information to us, and we're going to talk about it. We love the sport, the entire sport.
That's
right. We're not just a late model program. We're not just a NASCAR program. We're anything to do with racing. Now, the biggest thing that got, you know, got me fired up is, you know, people saying, well, why would you single out and not have Andy Kamrath on the program?
We didn't.
And we didn't at all.
No.
And in fact, we mentioned Andy Kamrath being on the program. And going to Victory Lane. Now, we did not mention the big thing that he won five in a row. That's five wins in a row. That's a big deal in anything.
Sure it is.
I had no idea.
Neither did I.
I was there. I was at the racetrack. Yep. I seen him in victory lane. I actually waved at him in victory lane.
Yep.
And now I had no idea that it was five in a row. I'm sure there were hundreds of posts on social media on Andy Kamrath's wall congratulating him on five in a row. I didn't see it. You didn't see it.
No.
We never talked about it. We weren't glossing over the fact that he had five in a row, which is a great accomplishment. Congratulations on five in a row. That being said, and this is, you know, I had a great conversation with Dave Gainforth about this. I've never seen a release with Oscar, you know, Oscar modifieds on it or Oscar hot rods. We've talked to Dave plenty.
Ashley McCubbin.
Yeah, Ashley.
I got that.
Ashley sends
That was
releases.
Either on Monday or Tuesday.
Yeah, so
I
after the show.
Or, oh, yeah.
So, no, but like before the show, I've never seen a release come in on Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon.
Nope.
You know, I've never seen a text message like,
nope.
Hey, Andy Kamrath won five in a row. If you are, and this is not singling out the modified guys. This is just bringing up, you know, a grievance, basically. But if you are a late model team, if you are a sanctioning body and you feel like we're not talking about you intentionally, that's the farthest thing from the truth.
Yeah.
There are people that we've talked to on the show that I don't like, that I've been in contact with at the racetrack.
Yeah.
You know, and they've wrecked the guy that I spot for, and then we have them on the show the next week because they want a race.
Yep.
And I'm not to say that there's people that everybody doesn't like. Maybe the person listening on the other end doesn't like me. I don't care.
That's right.
But that being said, there is nothing that we will censor off this show.
Nope.
And I just want to make that very clear. If you feel like you're not being talked about, your sanctioning body, yourself, your sponsor,
your PR,
you are at fault.
Yep.
Because all you have to do is send us a note.
Yep, reach
you
out.
Send us a note on joe@racetimeradio.com, on Facebook, on Twitter, anywhere where you can find us, send us a note. And we will talk about that.
Well, and the show lineup that you see each and every week is through me searching it out. That's what I'm doing. Well, there is a lot of racing and a lot of things happening right across this country and down south. A lot is happening, and I'm trying to pick and, you know, put the show together. And sometimes we, you know, miss stuff. But we also got to have it in front of us, too. I'm going to hit this break. When we come back, we're going to get you prepared for the Stewart's 100. It is the APC Series presented by Grisdale. It's coming to Sauble Speedway next weekend. We're going to catch up with the driver that's going to be in that field hoping to win it. The 81 of Andrew Grisel on the other side of the break. Stay with us.
Hi, this is Jay Dewar driving the 43 Dirt Sports in the Merivale Speedway. You're listening to Race Time Radio.
Get your race fix anytime online.
www.racetimeradio.com.
Also available on Facebook.
Just search Racetime Radio.
And as always, you can drop us an email.
info@racetimeradio.com.
Even though Napa is a nationally known name, nearly all of our stores are built from the ground up by local owners and families. People you might call neighbors will be here, there, and everywhere, doing what neighbors do to keep their communities moving forward. You stop by a Napa Auto Parts store, you can count on Napa know-how.
Tonight's Racetime Radio is brought to you by Napa Auto Parts Stores, New Glasgow, Andy Ganesh, and Port Hawkesbury, Nova Scotia. You can count on Napa know-how.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on and
boom. Perfect!
Everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90.
Racetime Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. Dawson Dental Centers. Get your victory lane smile at DawsonDental.ca.
Racetime Radio is back. Once again, Joe Chisholm.
Well, thank you, Andy. We are back with you live, and let's get right back to the hotline, and we'll get caught up with a driver that we haven't spoke to in quite a while here on Racetime Radio. He's got lots of good things happening for him. He did race at UCASA. Didn't have the day he wanted, but I'll tell you what, he's heading back to home turf. And the number 81, Sauble Falls, CUSW, Chevrolet, this guy, or Ford, is going to be one to keep your eye on at Sauble Speedway. The driver of the number 81, Andrew Grissel. What's going on tonight, Andrew? How you doing?
Hey, Joe. How you guys doing tonight?
Fantastic, my friend. Well, we're no pressure, buddy. You're heading to your home track, and it's going to be a huge race this coming weekend. How's the 81 coming?
Yeah, we've just actually been out in the shop all afternoon, just working away on the car. We had a few changes to make after that poor performance in the first race, so we're hoping to have a lot better run here at home, and I think well, we tested out there a few weeks ago and the car was good, so hoping for the best here.
Andrew, a brand new race car underneath you again this year. Was that race at UCASA, that APC show that you guys did, like a week ago, was it like a byproduct of a new car that sort of held you back where you were, or what actually took place? Because we're used to seeing you at the front of the field.
Yeah, and, I mean, I love running there. I love the bigger tracks. I like the speed and everything. It was definitely just more having a new car, and there was a few things that we never really realized before, and we ended up finding them that day, and it was affecting the car and how it was handling. So, unfortunately, we didn't have enough time to fix it the way we needed to fix it, and let alone have the right parts there. So, I think it's going to be a lot better here going forward. It was good to find out what we needed to do to the car, but unfortunately, it was just too late. And I don't know. That's the way this game's played sometimes, right?
Yeah. Well, you haven't got much time, especially these days. It's not like, you know, last year or the years before that where you got extended practice sessions and all kinds of time to get things sorted out. This year, not so. Man, you got click, go, and it's just crazy. I got a chance, Andrew, to have a look at your car, your new ride. When you were testing at the beach, I had a real good look at it. Man, you got one piece underneath you this year. That's a beautiful race car.
Definitely is. Really nice car. It's a 2019 Hamke. So one of the last cars that was actually built by Robert out of his shop before selling to Rowdy. And so it's definitely a real nice race car. And I've got a lot of confidence in the car myself. I've always had good success with a Hamke race car, and I know this one will be just as good or better than what we had before. So,
what's it going to take to win at the beach? You've done a lot of winning at Sauble Speedway, as you have at Delaware and all these short tracks around Ontario. What's it going to take to win this one at the beach? The competition level in that APC series is insane at this point. What's it going to take to win this one?
Yeah, it's a tough deal. You just, everything's got to be perfect. It's got to be your day for sure. There's a lot of good racers there, a lot of good teams, and a lot of new equipment. So, testing's big. We're going to get out again this week to test the car after making all these changes. And just getting the thing to turn hard there. It sobbles a little tighter racetrack, and Everything counts there as well. It's just it can be tricky to get the car to turn there, and depending on the weather and how hot it's going to be. But that's just the main thing. You really got to work at it at these smaller tracks and get the car to do what you want it to do. So,
if there is a racetrack, Andrew, that you could drive blindfolded, it would be Sauble Speedway. It's the one you cut your teeth on. It's one of those tracks, two groove for sure. It's kind of touch and go when you get three wide at the beach. You probably don't want to be the guy on the outside if three wide breaks out. But it is possible, I guess.
Yeah, we're on a different compound tire this year, too. And the tires have got it's got a lot more grip in it. So we're going to be a lot faster than what we were running last year for lap times. And I think it's going to be one hell of a race, to tell you the truth. I think we're going to have a lot of cars come up. And it's gonna be a crazy race for sure.
Andrew, looking at obviously, you know, the last year, you know, it seems like it was only a few years back where Andrew Grizel was dominant in the APC series. Now we don't see anybody be dominant in the series. You were kind of the last one, obviously you, and then Brandon Watson back to back. You guys both had a dominant season back to back. But now it seems like there's a different winner every week. There's guys who are better at certain tracks than others. But when it comes down to practice time, everybody is within a tenth in on the left side of the speed chart. It seems like the competition level in the APC series just continually increases. What's it like trying to keep up? I know you and maybe the fans don't know this, but Andrew Grizel does a lot of his own work, right? You do a lot of the setup work. You do all of the setup work and all of the R&D side. You're not necessarily relying on one of the big chassis manufacturers. You do have relationships out there, but you do a majority of the work in-house. What's it like trying to stay on top of that ball or on top of that game year in and year out?
Yeah, it's not easy by any means. I mean, the way the race cars are advancing, new ideas coming out all the time. Yeah, you definitely have to stay on top of things. It's not as easy as you think, that's for sure. But I mean, the main thing is a lot of these guys, a lot of guys have good support. We have great support too. I got to thank all my sponsors, Double Falls Tent and Trailer Park, Tufts W, the Canadian Union of Skilled Workers, El Grande Group, new sponsor for us this year. Big thanks to them. Gallinger Capital and High Grade Roofing. But the support is unreal. These teams are getting a good amount of support, not only from from their partners, but also at the team there's got somebody that they can rely on and make adjustments to the race car and do what it needs to do. So we have Ben McDonald this year. I thank Ryan a lot. He's been helping us out quite a bit here, and we're working away at this thing, man. It's not going to be easy, but I'm hoping Sauble. That's a racetrack that we know very well, and I think we should be able to at least have a top five run here.
How important is track position when you're talking the beach and you're talking the Stewart's 100? You got 100 laps to get her done. How big is track position? I've seen you roll from a last chance qualifier, start dead last at Sunset Speedway and win the race. How big is track position?
Oh, track position means a lot, especially some of these restarts. I mean, you can lose, you know, 5-6 spots just on a restart if you're on the outside lane and it's not working for you. Track position is going to be huge. To try to gain that back is really tough, especially later on in the race. Fuel's starting to run low, car's getting light. These guys are all running hard. So it's 100 laps of hard racing, man. There's no letting up, that's for sure.
Mike, I think back to Mike McKenzie out on the east coast of Canada. We're getting ready to do the IWK 250. And Mike McKenzie is one of those crafty veterans out on Canada's east coast. And I said to Mike, what do you think we're going to see today in the IWK 250? And he said, Joe, to be honest, 250 qualifying laps is what you're about to see. These guys are going to lay it out for 250 laps. He said, if you don't, you're going to be last. And yeah, That's the way I think this one's going to be. This Stewart's 100, you're going to have your game on to get out there and compete in this one. Will you put the emphasis into the qualifying end of it? To get out there, and how do you save and still move forward? I can never figure that combination out.
Andrew hasn't figured that one out either. Don't even try to answer that. You don't save an ounce out of a race car. There's, yeah, the terrible guy to ask this question.
you can have the best. You can have a great car underneath you, and sometimes it's really nice to buy some time. But unfortunately, it doesn't happen in these races. The minute you're letting up, you're getting passed. So you really got to focus the entire time. And sometimes you're beating on tires when you don't want to be. But if you're going to give up a few spots, you're going to beat them up anyway, trying to get them back. So it's a tough deal. Especially at the short track here. Guys are going to be moving each other a little bit here and there when they have to be, and it'll be heads up racing for sure.
Yeah, it's going to be off the hook. And the good part is everybody everywhere in North America is going to be able to watch us absolutely live, absolutely free. All you got to do is get to GeForce.tv for live coverage this Saturday of the APC series presented by Grisdale. This 81 team is going to be definitely one to watch. How's the crew? Everybody doing well? You got the same guys on the crew, Andrew, that you have been, you're past champion of the series. You got the same guys again this year?
We've switched it up a little bit. A couple of the other guys were actually pretty busy. They weren't really expecting to maybe go racing at this time of year. So they took on some bigger projects, and we've got a great crew put together. Like I said, Brian McDonald, Gareth Gonder, Chris Tripp will be helping us here at Sauble. John Wolf, raced late model back in the day, and he'll be helping us out. He's great to have at the racetrack. And Steve Bryans, of course. Stevie will be driving the truck and getting the hauler ready and everything like that. So, yeah, it's not easy. Usually we're used to running with a couple more guys at the racetrack, and that eases up on things, especially with a new car. And so we're super busy. Me and myself at Jocasta there, I don't think I've stopped sweating the entire day, just between wrenching on the car and trying to get some laps in. But it's not easy on the teams either. It's a tough deal. You got tires to get ready, and the spotter's got to be up in the tower. And so you're really down to about four guys, really.
Yeah.
Three, really. But
yeah. Yeah, yeah, and you got to get the job done, right? It's it makes it even tougher to get out there. These wins got to mean more than really what took place in the past.
Oh, I think so for sure. Yeah, 32 cars is an amazing car count. It was great to see everybody out, and everybody's hungry. Guys have been waiting around. They got new equipment. We got new equipment. We want to get out and race. And so it's nice to be able to have this five-race schedule here put together, and it's definitely good. It's good for the sport.
You betcha. Andrew, this has been great catching up with you tonight. I know I look forward to the race on the weekend. It's going to be off the hook, I can guarantee it. Andrew, thanks so much for the time, buddy. Good luck in the race. I know we'll see you there.
Oh, right on. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
You betcha. The number 81, Andrew Grissel. The Sauble Falls Cuss W. That Ford is a beautiful car. If you get a chance, I know the TV guys will be on it.
Yeah.
And hopefully they, do some up close shots of that race car, because I'm telling you what, that's a work of art.
Yeah, for sure. Craig Camera did the wrap on that thing with Image Wraps, and he definitely does some great work. And, Andrew's came a long way. It's incredible, to see them struggle at Jocasta. It's been a long time since we've seen Grissel struggle that bad. But that determination, is going to turn around. And, they're not shy of putting the legwork in. And when a team like that misses the setup or misses a few things, they usually are trying some stuff too, right? So it comes to a point where they go back to their notebook, they figure out what worked and what didn't, and then dial it right in, and then they go on a run. And, you look back at some guys that have put together new cars, that run at the top of whatever series that they're in, and they struggle. And it's a normal thing. We cover that off, on the regular, it seems. When you go to Sauble Speedway, even if your car has some shortcomings, if you know how to get around that joint, a guy like Andrew Grissel could take a wheelbarrow and run good at Sauble.
Yep.
And you know, there's a few names like that, and Brandon Watson's one that jumps off the page is really good there.
Really good there. 21
of Matt Pertigo is really exceptionally good at Sauble, and really McCall, his entire camp. McCall has a really cool way to set up a race car at Sauble, and it just seems like that racetrack suits a McCall car so well. Another guy that showed some incredible speed last year was Ryan Kimble, with that Fury car that he's got, and
the 52 of Sheridan
is Watch another out. One. Yes, 100%. And Petey Shepard, haven't seen in a late model in a very long time. So, and you know, when you look at the most recent winner, Joe Lawrence, he went to Victory Lane at Jucasa, but he ran. You know, the Sauble races that happened last year.
Yep.
He was really stout, and that new piece that they've built is just a rocket ship.
So it is.
It's going to be interesting. And we haven't even mentioned a guy like J.R. Fitzpatrick.
Yeah.
You know, when you throw that in,
yeah.
He's another guy. If you would have told me that J.R. Fitzpatrick and Andrew Grizel wouldn't finish in the top 15, but their cars would be straight after Jucasa, I would be like, what?
Yeah.
There's no way.
Yeah, you're crazy.
And when you look at how much both of them struggled there, they're going to be coming out guns a-blazing. And I'm telling you, this is going to be a really exciting couple weeks of racing between the Pinty Series racing at Flamborough Speedway, the APC racing at Sauble, and as well with 660 coming up. With the 250, there's some amazing racing that's going to be taking place over the next 4 to 6 weeks.
Yeah, and the vodka super late models back in at Wynette Group Speedway out in Saskatoon. They come up next weekend, I believe.
Yes.
So we're going to try and get those guys back in here. A guest we had on last week, Tom Walters, Stompin' Tom. He was excited to be getting up here to the beach. Couldn't wait to get his Rambler out. We had him on last week. He ended up in the hospital last week, had some procedure done. He's okay, but he's not going to be able to race at the beach this coming weekend. We would just want to let Tom Walters know that we're thinking of him and get healed up fast there, Tommy.
Absolutely.
We do want to see you back behind the wheel as soon as possible. But that, my friends, is going to do it for us tonight on Racetime Radio. Want to thank all of our guests. And want to remind you one last time, GForce.tv, Saturday. I'm going to say you might want to tune in right around 4 o'clock, check their local listings or whatever. You don't want to miss this race. That APC race is going to be a barn burner. And the guys at GForce do a great job presenting it. So you don't want to miss that. And that's going to do it for us here tonight in the studio. Got to thank Sue right here in the RTR studio, and Scotty back in Toronto. That does it. Have a good, safe week, everybody, and we'll get you back here next Sunday night, live on Racetime Radio.
Thanks for listening to Racetime Radio. Visit us on the web at www.racetimeradio.com. We hope you'll join us again next time for more Racetime Radio.
Come on now, dig.
Exclusively on your home for the hardcore race fan.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.